clarify. The mouth has two parts, two volumes, the anterior and the posterior. The anterior is for marmara. The posterior is for gargara. Marmara, excuse me, rinsing. Marmara apparently is okay. Gargara is for it. Is that the case? Because the gargara reaches the easily gets swollen, so you have to be careful. Yeah, the gargling. Gargling is no. So that's why what Samah said, when you brush your teeth, you go like this. We don't go like this. Is that the case?
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. And then when you rinse your mouth after brushing your teeth, try to discharge that water in your mouth. You have to discharge it and don't swallow it. Even for the wudu, some people, they mustahab. It's recommended that you do madmada, rinsing your mouth 3 times. That you have to discharge the water outside your mouth and don't swallow this new water that came into your mouth. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Shukran. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا وبعد فقد قال تعالى في كتابه الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إنما الصدقات للفقراء والمساكين والعاملين عليها والمؤلفة قلوبهم وفي الرقاب والغارمين وفي سبيل الله وابن السبيل فريضة من الله والله عليم حكيم صدق الله العلي العظيم.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
One of the most foundations of our faith and our religion is the charity offerings, the sadaqah. Sadaqah is recommended, is not mandatory. Zakat, and khums, and I will distinguish between them, these are mandatory items, articles of faith. While charity is highly recommended. Zakat applies to several items. Some of them are not found anymore in our society, in our modern society. These items are not found anymore. Like, for instance, the three cattles. The cattles are sheep, cows, and camels. Or the four types of food, which is al-ghillatul arba, which are four crops, which are the wheat, al-hinta, sha'ir, barley, and the dates, and zabib, raisins. These are four types of crops. And then the two main currencies, which is one of them is gold, and the other is silver, and naqdain. These items today, we do not trade with them. Yes, women, they wear jewelry, gold and silver, but we don't save them at home and we do not do business with them. These seven items, the 3 plus 4, 7, and the 2, 9 items, they have to reach a prescribed limit so you can pay the zakat, the taxation of it. Each one of them has a prescribed limit and also certain conditions where the taxes apply to them. Now we come to another item, which is money. Alhamdulillah, all of you make money in this country. All of you make money, alhamdulillah. And the biggest one who makes good money is the president of this country. He knows how to milk the money from others, alhamdulillah. He's good at this. And I hope you will be good at spending it too, not wasting it on arms, deals, and, you know, making this earth less safer and creating more conflicts, especially in the Middle East. The Saudis are happy that they made a deal with Americans, not knowing that this junk that they are buying is not going to be of use. And even if they use it, unfortunately, they're going to use it against the Muslims, against people like Yemen, against their own people in the Eastern Province and Bahrain and other and Syria and Iraq and other places. So the taxation of money is called khums. Why it is called khums? And I make it very simple. Khums means that whatever you make, let's say you make 100,000 a year, you make 100,000, okay? Out of this 100,000, you spend $90,000 on you, your family, your children, your guests, your mortgage, your payments, your insurance, your healthcare, education, and then you have another 10,000, which is a surplus. This surplus that you generate, you pay 20% of it, not the entire surplus, 20% only of this surplus, which is how much out of 10,000? 2,000. Someone who makes $100,000 a year may end up paying only 2,000 as khums. Is this too much? You know, in the Mormon church, some of them, they pay from the capital, not the surplus, the capital. I know some Mormon friends who tell me, we pay 40% of the capital. Not what they earn, of the capital money every year to the church. This is called the khums. And Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam says, whenever God mentioned prayers, he purred and he joined prayers with what? قَرَنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى الزَّكَاةَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. Always God, when he spoke about the prayers, immediately after the prayers, what does he say? أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and pay charity. Because the Imam says, فَمَنْ أَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَلَمْ يُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةَ فَكَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يُقِمَ الصَّلَاةَ. If someone does the 5 daily prayers, but he or she does not pay his charity or his zakat or his taxation or the alms, as if he has not done the prayers, the prayers is going to be crippled and dismantled because it does not work. In Islam, we have two types of services, not one. One of them, it is between you and God, such as the prayers. The prayers that you do, the 5 daily prayers, other than the Friday prayers that you have to come to the mosque. The 5 daily prayers, it's between you and God. You do it for the sake of God and for the sake of yourself. However, there are other types of services that it is not only between you and God, it is between you, God, and the people. Such as what? Give me an example. Such as fasting. The fasting that you are doing, it involves the community around you, the family. You fast to feel. The Prophet says, why do we have to fast? To feel the hunger, to feel the pain of the hunger and the thirst, so our hearts become soft and tender and thoughtful for those who can't afford, for those who are hungry every night, not just 1 month. A year. Every single night they go to bed with no food. Don't look at America. If you look outside, even in this country, go to the Skid Row in Los Angeles. The Skid Row is growing and growing and growing every single day. Hundreds of people end up being homeless and foodless and shelterless. Okay? And many of them are young. A society that has economic disparity between those who have, those very rich, and those who are very poor, that is not an Islamic society. It's not. An Islamic society is when people stand for each other. God says, I don't want the wealth to be concentrated with only few. لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ مِنْهُ. This is not good. You have to give. It's very good to be wealthy. At the same time, you have to create a foundation to serve others. A foundation to serve others. I said this sentence the other day. I was reading the notes left by Steve Jobs, which really shook me, these notes. He said after collecting $700 billion, his corporation is the largest, is the most expensive. 700, it's worth, when he died, $700 billion. He said, what does this money do to me today? I'm on deathbed in the hospital. Would it take the death away from me? Prevent me from dying? It would not. $700 billion could not save his life. But cannot save this lower life, but it can save us there. Some people does not save them neither here nor there. But some people, they might die early here, but they will gain there. They will gain there. تِلْكَ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ The real life is that one. If you create a foundation, establish a foundation to serve, to provide perpetual charities. What are perpetual charities? صَدَقَةٌ جَارِي Perpetual charities is a clinic, a library, kindergarten, school, senior citizens' house, hospice, hospital. You know, these are perpetual charities. If you build homes for the needy, for the poor, these are perpetual charities. A mosque where people come and get inspired. This is sadaqatun jari. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابٌ God says, in this life, we brag with our kids. I have this much children, this much grandchildren, they are successful, they graduate, they do this. We brag. And we brag about our homes and properties and ranches and lands and buildings and towers. We brag about them. But on the day of judgment, you cannot brag about these things because they are no longer yours. They don't belong to you. What can you brag about on the day of judgment? Perpetual charities. وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتُ خَيْرٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ ثَوَابًا وَخَيْرٌ أَمَلًا You can put your hope in them. When you build a school here, when you build an orphanage here, small orphanage, then you can go with hope. You are not worried about your final trip. You know that you have good investments there. You have good 401k, which does not collapse. You created good investment in the Akhirah. So, charity is one of the foundations of our religion. Now, this is the zakat that is mandatory. Beside the zakat, we have to pay sadaq. It's good that if we, once in a while, we pay charity. Charity is called sadaq. Who do we pay it to? Quran says in chapter 9, there are 8 categories who deserve the charity, the sadaqah. You give it to these 8 categories. Number 1, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ لِلْفُقَرَىٰ Poor person who does not possess, who's the poor? What is the definition of poverty and poor? Living under what? In some countries, those who live under the poverty, what they call it? Huh? Poverty line, in some countries it's about a dollar. If you have a dollar, you're not poor in some countries. Can you imagine? If you have a dollar bill, you're not poor in some countries. But what is it in Islam? In Islam says, we don't measure it by dollar. We say, a poor person who does not possess actual or potential, either actual, and I will differentiate between them, actual or potential means to meet his or her own expenses. Meaning, today was Sunday, for your lodging, for your shelter, for your food, for your family, you need, let's say $100 for you and your family to live dignified and meet your expenses. You need $100. If you make $90, you are poor. If you make $99 that day, where you need $100, according to Islam, you are poor. You deserve sadaqah. You can receive it. Not only you can receive sadaqah, at the time of zakat, you don't pay zakat. You know, on the day of Eid, we pay fitriya, zakatul fitr, fitriya. The poor people, they don't pay. They are exempted. They get it. They don't pay it. They get it. So if you don't make it today, you need the $100, you don't have it, then Baytul Mal. Baytul Mal in an Islamic society is a treasury. But here we don't have Islamic society. We don't have Sharia, alhamdulillah, in this country. We can't implement Sharia. As soon as you say Sharia, you get deported. So don't say Sharia. Shh. Keep quiet about it. Okay? Baytul Mal is the mosque here, the community, the Muslim community. The Muslim community is Baytul Mal. We are responsible for the family who cannot afford. So either actual or potential. Potential, what does it mean? It means now I have this $100 today, but 2 days from now, I'm not going to have $100. So this is a potential poverty. So if I need, let's say, if someone needs $3,000 a month, he can make only $2,500. So that person is called what? Poor. And then the second category, wal-masakeen. Masakeen are indigent. Those are destitute. Those are even worse. Miskeen is someone who cannot even find food to feed himself and his family. The third one, wal-amilina alayha. Those who work full-time to collect the charity, they can get their salary from that charity, from Baytul Mal. Amilina alayha, to collect the money, they can get it from that charity too. وَالْمُؤَلَّفَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ. Who knows who's مُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, who deserve charity?
Prisoners of war.
No, no, they come to the prison. مُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ, who are they? مُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ are non-Muslims. They don't even know God. They don't share the faith with you. They don't pray. They are non-Muslims. Non-Muslims. But you are trying to attract them, مُؤَلَّفَ, to bring their hearts into God, into the path. Therefore, you give them as a gift or as a help because they are also human beings. Some people say, they don't deserve. I only give to my village, to my cousins, to my community. I don't care about others. This is not good charity. Good charity is when you give regardless. You don't look at people's colors, people's aqidah, ideology, people's religion, whether they believe in God, they don't believe in God. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them for God to decide. We don't judge people. مُؤَلَّفَ قُلُوبُهُمْ are those non-Muslims that you are hoping to attract them to faith. Attract them to the right path. So you can spend from charity that you collect on them. That was number four. Number five, وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ, at the time of early Islam, now we don't have it. They used to have slaves. So you use the money of the charity to free the slaves. To buy them from the market and then set them free. To free the slaves with the money of charity. You can do that. This is number five. Number six, والغارمين. Who are الغارمون? غارمون are someone who took a loan, a debt, the debtors, who cannot repay the loan. He can't. He lost his business. He lost his shop. He lost his house. He or she cannot repay the loan to the bank, to the charity, to whatever. You can repay the debt, their debt, from what? From the charity box. From the charity. Al-Ghalimun. And then after that, number six, وَفِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. What is سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ? Anything that is benefits the cause of God. Anything. Anything that you know it benefits the cause and the way of God, you can give the charity. Such as what? Medication. Medication is vital for some people. If they don't get medication, they die. Or taking them to the doctor. Not just medication. Paying for their surgery, paying for their X-ray, paying for their MRI, paying for, you know, their transportation. This is fi sabilillah. Any good cause that serves the humanity, you can spend on that from charity. And number 8, the last item, Wabn al-Sabil. Ibn al-Sabil is a traveler who went to somewhere and he became stranded. He lost his money. He doesn't have means to go back home. So you purchase a ticket. Not first class ticket. No. Economy ticket. Yeah. Because some people say, I want to go back with first class. Because my back, you know, hurts me, so send me back to Iraq with first class. So inshallah ta'ala, I'll take you with me. So whatever you can afford, you know, those who are stranded and they don't have a house or a shelter, I said this in Karbala 2 months ago, in the shrine of Imam Hussein. And I believe strongly in this. And I said this story many times. I said, what is Islamic society? Do we have to shout always, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, we carry the Quran, we pray in the street. Is this Islamic society? Or the Islamic society that is based on dignity. You save people's dignity and honor. And I gave this example in Karbala 2 months ago, back in April. I said, I went to Tabriz last year. And I saw with my own eyes. I never saw someone begging, never. We went to the old quarter of the city. We went to old town, the bazaar, the mosque, the oldest mosque. Never ever I found a person saying, I need food, I need money, I need. While you go to other cities, they chase you. In Iraq, in Iran, in Saudi Arabia, in Muslim countries, in Egypt, in anywhere you go. 55 Muslim countries we have, people chase you in every city, they beg. You go here to LA, they beg. You go to New York, they beg you to give them food. In that city, I did not find. I didn't find anyone. So I asked. And I saw they put a box, you know, they say this box is for the people, Muslim and Dan, the poor people. And then they told me if they find someone begging, they take him to the police station. They question him or her. If he's genuine, they give them money from that box. If they are not genuine, they ask them to stop. Stop doing that. This is shameful. This is called Islamic society. This is Islamic society. When you have solidarity, when you clean your city from beggars, from poor people, when you feel their suffering and try to reach out to them and help them, this is Islamic society. This is a true Islamic society. Islamic society is not when you build a skyscrapers in Mecca, 110 floors, okay, and then there are people there hungry and homeless, people who don't have shelter. Because they can't afford the hotel. This is not an Islamic city. This is not an Islamic city. What is the Islamic city? The Islamic city is not by the walls or the streets or the bricks. Islamic city is by the people, their behavior, their manners, their akhlaq. When they reach out to each other, they help each other. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, never believed in God or Islam, someone who sleeps full while his neighbor is hungry. This is not Islam. That person did not believe in God. He doesn't have faith in God. We have to take care of each other. This is the month of sharing and caring and rahmah and mercy. And trying to find those who are in need. Reach out to them. Fill their stomach. The Prophet said, اتقوا النار. He was telling his community that if you want to avoid hellfire, give food to someone. Some of them, they stood, they said, Ya Rasulallah, ما كلنا يقدر على ذلك. We can't afford. We don't have food ourselves. How can we host someone? He said, اتقوا النار ولو بشق تمرة. Avoid hellfire, even if you give, did you see the dates we have today? Did you see it? He said half a piece, not full. Offer them half a piece. اتقوا النار ولو بشربت ماء. A sip of water. Provide it to your neighbor, to your friend, to someone who's with you in humanity. So zakat is important, and the society cannot function, and the zakat is the job of each and every person. Someone can afford $1 a day, very good. Someone can afford $20 a day, $50 a day, very good. Don't give. You know, don't stay away. مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ. Listen to what the Prophet says. مَا مِن مُؤْمِنٍ مَنَعَ دِرْحَمًا مِنْ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَنْفَقَ إِثْنَيْنْ فِي غَيْرِ حَقٍ. When you don't give $1 for a worthy cause, Allah will force you to pay $2 for a non-worthy cause, meaning you're going to lose your money. If you don't pay it for a worthy cause, then not the same amount. The double amount, you have to waste it. It's going to go down the drain. You're going to give it to an attorney for a lost case. So don't do that. When a worthy cause comes forward, say yes. Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah is reaching out to me. Allah is enabling me. This is an opportunity for me, for my tawfiq, for my spiritual and moral nourishment. An advancement. So let's work together. And let me conclude with this ayah. Allah says the benefit of giving charity are three. Three benefits. Number one, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. O Prophet, tax them. Get the taxation out of their money. Take the charity out of their money. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. Why? For three reasons. Number one, تُطَحِّرُهُمْ. You're going to cleanse them, cleansing them from the filth. These maddiyat are filth, believe me. They are filth. So cleansing them from this. Number two, وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. Tazkiyah. Number one is to cleanse, to wash the filth away from them. Number two, tazkiyah is something above. You know, when you take your car to the car wash, sometimes they wash away the dirt, the first step. But sometimes you pay extra money for what?
Detail.
Huh? Details. Detail. They polish it for you. Not just they wash away the dirt. God says the sadaqah has two things. Number one, it washes away the dirt, the filth from you. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَحِّرُهُمْ. This is. تُزَكِّيهِمْ is the detail. It polishes your what? Polishes what? Your heart, your soul. It's going to be polished. You're going to grow. Mentally you're going to grow. Not just physically. Mentally you're going to grow. Spiritually you're going to grow. Now we find some people are different. Some people, they never grow spiritually. Never ever. They are, you know, in a cycle, perpetual cycle of childhood. Childhood. His age is 40 years old, 50 years old, but the brain, the mind, the soul, 3 years old, alhamdulillah. He's not growing because he does not give himself a chance to grow. One of the things that makes us grow is when we share, giving charity. So, تُطَحِّرُهُمْ وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. The third one, listen, وَصَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنَّ صَلَاتَكَ سَكَنٌ لَهُمْ. صَلِّ عَلَيْهِمْ, what does it mean? Bless them. I mentioned the blessing last night. Sometimes you have something which is a blessed and something unblessed. I gave this example. Some homes are blessed, flourishing with love, with kindness, with goodness. Some homes are not flourishing, unfortunately. They are dark. Dark. Regressive. With conflict, with fighting, with divorce, with, you know, greed. The first one has a blessing, the second one does not have a blessing. I gave the example of children. Some children are full of a blessing, and some children, they don't have any blessing. You have to run after them in the streets. Some money is a blessing, and some money does not have a blessing. Some money, you get it, You can do many things with that money. Help yourself, help your family, your children, your neighbors. Other monies, you get it, but you don't enjoy it. It becomes a source of tension. I know someone who one time told me that when I had moderate income, I had the best life. As soon as I started making money, divorce and conflict and fightings and courts and attorneys, they started to creep in into my life. I wish I can go back to the old days. He said, I'm not enjoying this extra money that I made. I'm not enjoying it. When the money does not have a blessing, it becomes a source of tension. So Allah says to the Prophet, when you get the charity out of them, their money is going to be a source of peace and a blessings and a stability for them. Allahumma akhbar lil mu'mineen wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat tabi' allahumma baynana wa baynahum bil khayrat. Inshallah, we see you every night here with iftar and the du'as inshallah, and we ask you to invite your neighbors, your friends, especially the people who are not Muslims in your community. Invite them to come and experience the beauty of the month of Ramadan at this masjid, inshallah. وعجل اللهم في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب الفاتحة مع الصلاة على محمد وآل محمد.